Heavenly Father, speak to us by your word through your spirit. Open our hearts to hear and to do all you're calling us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Do sit down. It's lovely to be here. Thank you for the smiles of welcome that I've seen from some of you already. I don't know if you've, I hear you've had a party. I've been to one Christmas party. Are you getting that Christmassy feeling yet? Or is it kind of with a little sinking feeling of dread of all the who sent you things last year and what you're going to need to do this year? Are you a cards person or are you an online person? I'm looking forward to Christmas readings and carols. One of the delights of what God's called me to do in coming to places such as yourselves, I love singing everybody else's songs and hymns, because when you're in your own place, you have your own ones, and I love that. I love Christmas readings and carols. I could sing the Messiah, without probably the script too much. I love all the words. The readings, the lights go down, the candles are lit, the reader gets the lectern. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, but nobody stops to say, the sixth month of what? And that's really where my talk this morning starts. Because if you rewind and look a little bit more at that, today, we're looking at the family, the birth, and the calling of John the Baptist. That's what all the readings and the journey were about. John had wonderfully godly parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah was a priest in the Jerusalem temple. I think they must have had an incense rotor. I don't know, because it was Zechariah's turn to burn incense in the temple. And he's going about his job. He'd obviously been doing it a long time because he was an older man. And then suddenly he was interrupted by no less than the angel Gabriel. Oh my goodness, you know, we're talking about these words about God, but God interrupts the worship with his presence. And Gabriel's message was to Zechariah. He didn't believe it. He didn't believe what God had said through the angel. And the result of that was he couldn't speak for 9 months. I don't know. Can you imagine not being able to speak for 9 months when his job was in the temple and presumably he had words to say? He couldn't do his job. He was put into enforced silence. Then Elizabeth, his mother, John the Baptist's mother, was rather past childbearing years. And we know that Luke tells us that Elizabeth was a relative of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Some people say it was the cousin, but actually it just says relative, Luke says. But here was Elizabeth. She was pregnant in her older years. She hadn't, imagine having a first child when you were however many years. But here she was, according to the angel's message, it had happened. So when you get back to in the sixth month, just think of poor Elizabeth carrying her baby 6 months on. She probably had baby on board when she went on the tube and everything. And here she was. The angel Gabriel had been busy because Gabriel had also visited Mary. And part of the encouragement to Mary's faith was, even your relative Elizabeth is now carrying this baby and in the sixth month of her who's said to be barren. With God, nothing is impossible. And that encouraged Mary's faith to accept the word of God that God would overshadow her and that she would give birth to Jesus Christ. So when Mary comes to visit 6 months pregnant Elizabeth, Luke wonderfully records all this for us, and we've heard some of it in the reading, but I just want to flip back to a few pages before in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 41. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town on the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you was bear. Blessed is she who has believed that with all will fulfill what was promised." And Elizabeth said, "I know, when I heard your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy." And I just think this life of John the Baptist, you've got a wonderful picture of John's conception to birth. We have this word of God that this older couple would bear a child. We have this journey from, don't you think it's amazing? Everybody here started as two cells, one from a sperm and an ovum, just two cells coming together. And in the word of God, John the Baptist started like that. And in the first 12 weeks of John's life, all of his body was formed, his head, his guts, you know, his skin, his heart, his brain. Do you know, from 12 weeks onwards, a baby is fully formed. All that happens is they get bigger and their brain develops for this, from 12 weeks to full term. It's just their brain and their spinal cord grows. But at 6 months, John would be fully formed and in his mother's womb. The baby leaps for joy at being in the presence of Jesus. What a story that is of John, his life. And then Luke, for our reading, fast forwards from chapter 1 with this story to John the Baptist arriving with this announcement that's in our reading. Here is the arrival of the messenger, prophetically foretold by Isaiah, Malachi and others, somebody who would go before the Lord to prepare the way. Another one to burst into song, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." I won't sing it, but wonderful songs. And what a lifelong calling of John, who actually ended up paying with his life for speaking truth to power, that John's call was going to go before the Lord to prepare the way for Jesus to come. In this time of Advent, we're called to hold together this double vision of we're looking at celebrating the coming of Christ, the inauguration of the kingdom of God, and we're looking forward to that hope and promise that Christ will return again in glory when that kingdom will be fully established. I think that there's a John the Baptist calling in lots of situations. In my own life, I've found that God's ended up calling me into things and places where somebody hasn't done this before. And I think it's foolish to go into something without the word of God. But when God calls you to go into something new, maybe you're preparing the way for Jesus to come. Preparing the way perhaps for other people to come after you and fill that place where you've gone into. Here's a call for you. Prepare the way of the Lord in our own communities. Where are those places for you where friends or neighbours or family, workplace, school, all sorts, where you're called to be? Where is St. Andrew's call to be and to go to prepare the way for what God wants to do? It might be conversations, it might be prayers, it might be invitations. Sometimes when you are going into where God's called you, it is crying in the wilderness, and maybe your words are rejected, as John's were. But maybe there's someone who's waiting for that sacrificial going into somewhere and preparing the way for God to come. So when we pray, as we will in a minute, your kingdom come, let's say, come Lord Jesus, in my life, where I'm going, I want to prepare the way for you. Here I am, send me. Shall we pray together? Well, thank you for the life of John the Baptist. And in our own lives, we pray that we will prepare the way for you to come. Lord, send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work for your praise and glory. May we prepare the way for you to come. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.